Did you know that you might be a part of the Armageddon lobby?
They see what you and I believe about the coming of Christ and looking at signs of the times. They see this as something that's dangerous, that we're trying to somehow ignite these events ourselves and bring about Armageddon.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with respected author, pastor, and teacher, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. They are both concerned about a film titled Praying for Armageddon that asserts that evangelicals are attempting to hasten the apocalypse. And we have a flag in one hand and a weapon in the other. We even promote policy decisions that will hasten the Book of Revelation into reality. Here is today's programming.
Here's what one article says. It says, this is a hard-hitting docu-thriller about an influential movement of Christian fundamentalists in the U.S. who, with millions of dollars in backing and threads into the government, are fighting for the end of the world. Power, money, and religion in a terrifying insider's report from a closed world. Now, you can get online and look it up, Praying for Armageddon, but you can also look at the movie poster. And it's very telling because on the poster, in the movie poster, it's Jesus, and he's coming back in this flowing white robe. He's riding a white horse. In his left hand, he has an American flag, and in his right hand, he has a machine gun. The subheading is, When Biblical Prophecy Fuels Political Power. So they see what you and I believe about the coming of Christ and looking at signs of the times. They see this as something that's dangerous, that we're trying to somehow ignite these events ourselves and bring about Armageddon. Now, here's what a part of this says. It says, while much of the world struggles to keep the planet going, a frighteningly large group of American fundamentalist Christians are working to promote the apocalypse. The evangelical movement is convinced that they will be saved when Jesus appears in the state of Israel on horseback and with a sword raised to heaven, kills the infidel so that the blood reaches the horse's bridles. Well, actually, that's not what we believe. We believe we're going to be delivered at the rapture when Jesus comes to catch us away to heaven. This is a reference to the second coming. It says, natural fires, coronavirus, wars, and crises are the evidence that the time is nigh. But for the prophecies to be released, the state of Israel has to grow stronger. So they provide huge financial support and are so far inside the White House that they help influence U.S. foreign policy. The evangelicals include doomsday preachers and politicians. Then it mentions the woman, the person who's produced this documentary, Tanjay Hessen Shai, has created a terrifying religious thriller that offers a hard-hitting glimpse into a closed world of influential people waiting for the sun to turn dark and the moon to turn to blood.
Welcome to the program. I hope that was intriguing to you. Mark Hitchcock commenting on a topic I'm going to talk about for a few minutes anyway. So did you know that you just might be a part of the Armageddon lobby? That's right. We not only believe the world will come to an end, but we want it to come to an end. And that we engineer American politics and foreign policy to hasten Earth's end. So says the new film, Praying for Armageddon. Of course, this is absurd, to put it mildly. We know the end is coming, but for the Armageddon scenario, believers aren't even here. We have been raptured, as Mark commented there just a moment ago, and soon coming back in the second coming to end Armageddon. Not praying for it, but we come back to put an end to it. So we have the power to spark the apocalypse, really. Well, this is the premise of a film, Praying for Armageddon, and here's some promotion. I'm going to read just a paragraph, I'm going to play a trailer, and I'm going to bring my special guest, Mark Hitchcock, on. Just a couple of paragraphs. Hard-hitting docu-thriller about an influential movement of Christian fundamentalists in the U.S. who, with millions of dollars in backing and threads into the government, are fighting on behalf of the world. While much of the world struggles to keep the planet going, a frighteningly large group of American fundamentalist Christians are working to promote the apocalypse. Again, this is a press release. The evangelical movement is convinced that they will be saved when Jesus appears in the state of Israel on horseback and with a sword raised to heaven, kills the infidels so that the blood reaches the horse's bridle. Oh, they have theology really mixed up, but that's what happens when the secular world tries to do something spiritual. I'm going to play the trailer, and let me just say this. Trailer might not be fully appreciated by my radio audience. It's something you kind of need to see. And anything, if you folks are visual, remember we have a video version of what we do. You can see every clip we show. You can get the video version at olivetreeviews.org and go to the radio. There we have audio and video posted on our Rumble channel, YouTube channel, Light Source, his channel, Christian TV, and more. Let's play that short trailer, and then I'm going to come back and bring Mark Hitchcock on.
I'm going to talk about war. The Bible is full of war. Jesus, he said, if you don't have a sword, buy one, because the time's coming you're going to need a sword.
The end of time. When is that? That's right now. The next thing that's about to happen is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In Christ's holy name we pray.
We who are evangelical Christians are going to have a true friend in the White House.
They are looking for the U.S. relationship with Israel, ultimately, to bring about Armageddon. We're in it immediately.
There have been two nations created to glorify God, Israel and the United States of America.
Israel will not go down because of us. No one will go down that is our ally that is not trying to attack us and kill us.
I want to see Jesus slay the enemy and watch the blood run up to the bits of the horses.
How many of y'all hear that things may change in this country?
We're called to be warriors, and we need you to get in the fight.
The countdown to Armageddon has begun.
Okay, but for these prophecies to be realized, the state of Israel has to grow stronger. This is their promotion. So they provide huge financial support and are so far inside the White House. Again, that's pro-Israel evangelical Christians. So far inside the White House that they help influence U.S. foreign policy, the evangelicals include doomsday preachers, politicians, motorcycle-riding warriors for God. Goes on to conclude here that the author, the producer, the writer of the film has crafted a terrifying religious thriller that offers a hard-hitting glimpse into a closed world of influential people, get this, waiting for the sun to turn dark and the moon to turn to blood. Mark Hitchcock, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, Jan. It's always great to be with you.
Mark, are you waiting for the sun to turn dark and the moon to turn to blood? Wow.
No, this whole program is kind of a confusing, convoluted view of prophecy. It misrepresents what we believe. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're waiting for the blessed hope, for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So, Amen. You know, it's any moment that Christ can come and take his bride away. We're not waiting for the moon to turn to blood or for Christ to come and return at his second coming on the white horse. We're waiting for at any moment coming of Jesus when he takes his bride to heaven.
Mark Hitchcock is the author of 35 books. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. He's been at a half a dozen of my conferences at Eden Prairie and one in the Brooklyn Park, Minnesota area last June, sharing a program there with Jeff Kinley. Mark, so you've actually made a video online about this. That's where I'm gleaning some thoughts. We'll play a couple more of your thoughts here. As we've stated, they don't understand our theology. And quite frankly, I want to speak for myself. My heart breaks for the world that's going to be left behind. If anybody thinks we're looking forward to, I mean, we will be enjoying heaven. I just hope I don't know what's happening on the earth, because what it reads like in Revelation is astoundingly horrible.
You're right. There's no one who's really a true believer in Jesus Christ who's wanting this world to be plunged into judgment. We believe it's going to happen. It's what the Bible says. We believe what Scripture tells us, but none of us are praying for Armageddon. We're looking for Christ's coming. We're praying for people to be saved and to be delivered from the coming wrath. But Armageddon is on God's prophetic schedule, and it's going to come someday. But it's a misrepresentation of what we believe to say that that's what we're praying for. The Bible does say, we are to pray, thy kingdom come. We're to pray for the coming of Christ's kingdom, when this world will be made right and God's rule will be manifest throughout the earth. The very last verse in scripture, next to the last verse in the book of Revelation, says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So we are to be looking for, anticipating, praying for the coming of Jesus Christ. But it's a far cry from the way it's caricatured in this documentary.
I want to play another clip of you because you've made such an excellent commentary on all of this.
At the very end of the trailer, they show Pastor Robert Jeffress, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, come on and say, the countdown to Armageddon has begun. That's kind of the final note in this movie trailer. Well, I agree with that. Robert Jeffress doesn't say he's praying for Armageddon or that he wants Armageddon to come. He's just simply saying the countdown to Armageddon has begun. And I believe that. And I know that most of you watching this video believe that as well, because we see the signs that Jesus predicted that he said are going to lead up to the end times. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 gave a long litany of signs. And he told us, when you see these things, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. So what we're doing is we're looking at signs we see in the world today. We see the stage being set exactly as Jesus told us it would be. We're simply connecting the dots and saying, look, the road to Armageddon is before us. We're down this road very far. So we're not trying to make it happen. We're simply observing what is happening and saying, look, the things that God says have to take place before Armageddon and the second coming can occur, we see those things happening.
I'm defaulting again here to a press release about all of this. Imagine not only believing the world is coming to an end, but wanting it to happen eagerly. Then take it a step further and imagine people with such a mentality engineering American politics and foreign policy to bring about the very thing they seek, the apocalypse. The promotion goes on. It may sound outlandish, but there are many well-organized fundamentalist Christian leaders and their followers working hard to make this doomsday scenario a reality. An alarming movement explored in the new documentary, Praying for Armageddon. One more paragraph. The makers of the film say, what they are really pushing for is the destruction of our civilization. Folks, we're praying for the salvation of our civilization, okay? And they go on to say, it's quite outrageous and mind-blowing, really. The writer-producer tells so-and-so, I don't think a lot of Americans realize that the sort of hidden end-time Armageddon lobby, again, that's you and me, the Armageddon lobby, that they have a real political power and that they make up the backbone of the Republican Party. Well, that may be true, and that's probably more so because we don't have much option out there. Mark, you and I know really well the Bible says there's going to be mocking and scoffing and all of that. Did you ever think it would come to this?
No, because it's a total misrepresentation of what we believe. They're saying that we believe that we can engineer the apocalypse. Well, they're giving us way too much credit.
Right.
We don't have the power to engineer the apocalypse. We don't have the power to engineer our own lives, let alone to engineer massive geopolitical events that are taking place. We're not going to engineer the apocalypse. We are expecting it because the Bible predicts it. We're the ultimate optimists. We believe that someday Jesus will return. He's going to set up a 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. We're going to go into an eternal reign with him. But we do believe that in the short term, this world is going to go through a terrible time of tribulation. Yep. The short-term forecast is very dark. The long-term forecast for believers is very bright. But just because we believe that and understand that's what God is saying in his word, it doesn't mean, again, that we're trying to engineer it or it's something that we are praying for and desiring to happen.
And I don't know where you can see this. You can look it up online, Praying for Armageddon. It might even be prayingforarmageddon.com, but I don't think you can see it online. Obviously, they're also emphasizing, Mark, the affection evangelicals have with the state of Israel, for the simple reason that the Bible so emphasizes Israel's role, past, present, and future. And I want to play one more clip, and then here's your comments on that.
The Jewish people came back as a nation in 1948, the rebirth of the modern state of Israel. It's the miracle in the Mediterranean. Certainly, God used events. He used the ashes of the Holocaust. He used the Balfour Declaration. Certainly, he used world events, but it was a miracle. The Jewish people who've been scattered to 70 countries for 2,000 years, their language had died out. God brought about the rebirth of the modern state of Israel. I'm not supporting Israel trying to spark or ignite the apocalypse. I support Israel because that's their homeland. I'm a Christian Zionist because I believe that the Jewish people have a right to their ancient homeland. I believe Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that says, whoever blesses Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. So we're not trying to ignite the apocalypse, and we're not praying for Armageddon. We're simply doing what the Bible tells us to do, and that is we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Going back here again to the promotion, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, Dr. Mark Hitchcock from Edmond, Oklahoma, on the line with me. The promotion says, praying for Armageddon makes the case that fundamentalist Christian groups, including, well, they happen to cite here Christians United for Israel, are providing both moral justification and economic support for Israel's expansion into Palestinian lands. These doomsdayers watch for indications of the coming apocalypse, but more than that, they are influencing policy decisions that will hasten the fulfillment of what they see as prophecy. They go on to say, these folks believe Israel has to be strong. For the evangelicals, this means that the Jewish people need to return to the Holy Land and that they get this. Palestinian people must be expelled from Israel. Never said that in my whole life. In their belief, Israel has to claim more land as is prophesied in the book of Revelation. It's quite incredible. This is not the first nor will ever be the last kind of mocking going on. As we've watched this happen, it's just intensifying all the time.
Jesus said, the world hated me, it's going to hate you. We've been fortunate here in America since the beginning and the founding of our nation. The persecution was very limited. Now we do see persecution. Up to now, it's been what we call low grade or soft persecution, or the mocking and the maligning of Christians. But what we're seeing now is more of a frontal attack. Not only are we seeing maybe as people who are out there on the fringe, or maybe they think we're deranged, but it's actually that we're dangerous.
Yes.
That we're dangerous people who have this dangerous agenda that we're trying to bring to pass. The more that they can convince people that we're dangerous, what we believe, then that's going to stir up more people to believe that, boy, you know, we can somehow minimize the influence of these people. Somehow, you know, our world's going to be a safer place.
Even some from within our own camp. I'm going to play a clip here. It's Frankie Schaefer, and he's not a dispensationalist. He's the son of Frank and Edith Schaefer. At one time, he was making some very compelling films, and he's going to mock us for about a minute and 17 seconds here on the Joy Reid program.
You have to understand that the evangelical Christian movement in America latched on to a 19th century concept that was hatched by someone called John Nelson Darby, who said that Jesus could not come back until Israel had been restored as a nation peopled by Jews and Jerusalem was the capital. This is not traditional Christian teaching going back into the ages, even of the Protestant church. This was not a concern of Martin Luther or any Roman Catholic or the Greek Orthodox or anyone else. If you want to update to the present, when I was a kid with my parents in their ministry of Labrie, we had a number of Christian leaders come by, and one of them had written, Hal Lindsey had written a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, in which he predicted the end times coming in 1980s. He said it's now possible because Israel has been restored. And then others came back and said, no, Jesus can't come back yet because Jerusalem's not restored. Fast forward to the 16 books and 4 films that you had that came out of the Left Behind series, written by a friend of mine, Jerry Jenkins, and his sidekick co-author that wrote it with him. And you've got 60 million copies sold that essentially are total fiction. I'm going to give you an analogy. This is as if the Twilight Zone had been taken as gospel by some religious group, and they were going back through old episodes and basing an entire cultic kind of religion on it.
Mark, you may have heard that. That's an interview on the Joy Reid program. Your thoughts on that?
There's so many mischaracterizations. There actually, his father used to believe in the pre-trib rapture.
Did he really?
Francis Schaefer. Yeah, he did. He believed in the pre-trib rapture. I don't know if he did later in life, but he certainly did at one point in time. I mean, he says nobody in the church believed these things. Well, you go back to Irenaeus in the second century. Irenaeus believed in a rebuilt Jewish temple. He believed in the Jewish people being back in their land. He believed in a restored, reunited Roman Empire. He believed in Antichrist ruling in the world for 3.5 years. The second coming of Jesus, a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth. This isn't something Hal Lindsey came up with. Almost everything Hal Lindsey taught was taught by Irenaeus in 180 A.D., this idea that this is new, and he says this came about through John Nelson Darby. Darby certainly systematized it in a great way. We have all kinds of pre-trib rapture statements long before Darby. That's a straw man argument that's often used against dispensationalism, pre-tribulation rapture. If someone doesn't want to believe in the pre-trib rapture, believe in premillennialism, that's certainly their prerogative, but it's not their prerogative to say things about it that are historically inaccurate.
I appreciate that so much, Mark. You're absolutely right. Let me just insert here real quickly. We have a one-night Understanding the Times coming up Thursday, May 11th, with former White House correspondent Bill Koenig. Bill has been to numbers of my conferences. He's been on air with me many, many times. He served as a correspondent in the Bush administration, the Obama administration, Trump administration. He may have been there briefly in the Biden administration. He has classic insight into the events of the day from a biblical and a prophetic perspective. We live stream these to the world, MarkHenryMinistries.com, on the Olive Tree app, the Mark Henry Ministries app. It will then be posted to our various websites. It'll be posted to YouTube, Rumble, other places. You can attend in person. There's no cost. There's no reservation needed. Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, Thursday, May 11th, 7 to 9 p.m. Everything is Central Time. The live stream Central Time, in person Central Time. Doors open at 6 p.m. Plenty of seating, and that's Thursday, May 11th. We've had over 1 million people live stream these events here in the last year or so. A very worthwhile couple of hours to help you better understand the times, contend for the faith, and understand the issues from a prophetic perspective, since many of you do not get that opportunity in your church. Mark, we carry your book, Global Reset. Do Current Events Point to the Antichrist and His Worldwide Empire? You co-authored that with Jeff Kinley. It's an outstanding book, folks, and it's an overview of the coming reset that's going to be put upon us by the World Economic Forum. Mark, do you think that this reset would actually be the tribulation?
I do. I think what we see, their whole agenda for this global reset ultimately leads to a worldwide global empire of the Antichrist. You've heard me say this before, but I think today what we see is the preset.
Yeah.
We're seeing the preset for the reset. I really do believe, as we see things happening in our world today, that the main facet of this that I see taking place so quickly is in the economic realm. The whole global reset's the brainchild of Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum. And I always like to point out, in the World Economic Forum, the middle word there is economic. It's the World Economic Forum. Ultimately, the goal is political power, but the main chief method to get the initial inroads is going to be economic. We see the dwindling power of the dollar in our world today. If the dollar is taken down as the global currency of exchange, we'll see unbelievable inflation here in America. It'll be a global free-for-all. I really think that's the kind of thing that can lead to central bank digital currencies, which almost all the nations in the world right now are investigating this. Some of them have already instituted it, places like the Bahamas. That's the most frightening thing I can think of for the powers that be, the global elites, to gain global control. Because once you have a global currency and a digital currency, they know everything you buy or sell. They can control what you buy or sell. They can even make the currency expirable, where it's only good for a certain length of time and then it disappears from your account. Once it's taken all digital, not only do they know what you're doing and they control it, and so you can only spend a certain amount of the money on food or a certain amount on gasoline or energy, whatever it is, they're going to say you can't spend any of it giving to these ministries that you want to give to. That's where I see the main movement happening that's going to enable people, because once they have economic control, they're going to really be able then to get political control as well and governmental control.
I've talked about CBDC, central bank digital currency, both on this program and at conferences and messages I've given and more. A part of this that's coming up will be a one world system, obviously a single leader ultimately. And that's why I feel a great deal of it is going to be during the tribulation, which the believers never see, of course. But nonetheless, I think the point is, Mark, we're seeing this setup, and if we're seeing this setup, how much closer then is the rapture of the church?
That's always one of the things that I've wondered about, and you and I have actually talked about this before, is how far along will the stage setting be before the rapture takes place? That's a question we really don't know the answer to. We already seem really far down the road. My wife comments to me all the time, I can't believe we're still here.
Exactly.
With all the things that are happening. But we do know that there is more stage setting to be done. And will we be taken right up to the precipice where the temple's been rebuilt? Or will the rapture happen? And will a third temple be built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem after that period of time? We don't know. But as things move along, one thing we can be sure is the global stage is going to just continue to be set. The world scenario, the world scene, the puzzle coming together is going to look more and more like the picture on top of the box all the time.
I think if we are commenting about how fast things have changed in our lifetime, imagine, and you comment on this all the time, what happens when, well, let's just focus on America, this will be global, but America affected more than anybody, 30, 40, 50 million people suddenly, instantly gone. America's power collapses literally overnight. The salt and light is gone. Supposedly, we're accused of praying for Armageddon. Well, here it comes, folks. But that rapture, how that's going to change the dynamic.
Yes, it's the most dramatic event since the global flood in the book of Genesis. The rapture of the church will be. It's going to be a massive game changer. It's going to put all the stage setting on overdrive. There's a lot of things right now we might look and see, well, how's this going to happen? How's that going to take place? It's going to fast track everything in a way that we can't even imagine. When the world's thrown into this kind of chaos, they're going to be looking for somebody to come along who can bring order out of all of that. The most incredible stage setting event and the most incredible accelerator of these things will be the rapture of the church. It's going to be an event that we can't even imagine what it will be like when people are left behind to pick up the pieces.
We're going to continue our discussion, folks. I've got lots more in my notes to talk about with Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He's pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, author of some 35 books. We carry a couple of them. The one that I referenced with Jeff Kinley a few weeks ago, Global Reset, Do Current Events Point to the Antichrist and His Worldwide Empire? Find that in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. You can call my office for it, get it on our newsletter lists and have it sent out to you. We have some 30, 40 products in our online bookstore and hope you'll tap into them. Not that we're trying to make gigantic profits here. We're not. We don't even charge shipping in the U.S. or Canada. We just want to get the news, information, apologetics, encouragement into your hands so you can better understand the times and contend for the faith. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to continue with my discussion with Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of uncertainty corrupted by sin and greed, where truth cannot be found, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. In today's darkened world, we want to have you give hope to others by way of a simple booklet written by Israeli author and teacher Amir Sarfati. Any Day Now is a 64-page booklet that enables you to better understand God's prophetic plan in light of events transpiring in the world. This pocketbook is a great tool to give to those who don't know Jesus Christ. Hand them out to loved ones, friends, family, and even strangers. It will help them understand the times with hopeful anticipation of Christ's imminent return. We offer the booklet for just $2. It is currently our most popular product because it offers insight, hope, and an overview of things to come. Find the booklet any day now in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Monday through Friday, Central Time, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Yes, Jesus is coming any day now. We want you to look up and anticipate His return.
when I look at all of this, I see there has to be a satanic conspiracy behind all of this, because there's no way that human beings in this short of a time could have come up with this kind of a program to reduce and diminish our country more quickly than they have. That's the only thing I can conclude, is it's being energized behind the scenes by Satan.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Dr. Mark Hitchcock to wrap up today's programming.
I do believe that doomsday is coming. The Bible tells us that before Jesus returns at his second coming and sets up his kingdom on the earth, this world is going to go through a terrible time of judgment. There's going to be the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. We do need to warn people about Armageddon because it's coming. We're not praying for Armageddon. We're praying for people to be saved and to be delivered before the rapture takes place that triggers all of these events. You know, there is one verse in the Bible that does talk about hastening the coming of Christ. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, we're to be looking for and hastening, speeding up the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But if you look in the context of this passage, the way that we hasten the Lord's coming is by evangelism. It's through evangelism. That's the preceding verses. The preceding verses also talk about living a godly life. And I think we also hasten the Lord's coming by praying, as Jesus told us to pray, thy kingdom come. So we're not praying for Armageddon. We're praying for the Lord to come. In fact, the New Testament ends with the words of the Apostle John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So we're to pray for the coming of Christ. We're to be looking and waiting and watching and be alert for the coming of Jesus Christ. But we're also, during this time while we're waiting, we're to be telling others what's coming in the future and warning them of what's coming and warning them to flee the wrath to come and to come to Jesus Christ. There's going to be a lot more of these things, I think, coming as we get near the end. Satan doesn't want people to have hope, the hope of the rapture. But for you and for me, what we need to be doing is we need to keep praying, thy kingdom come. We need to keep praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we need to be living and working in light of that as we await his coming.
Mark Hitchcock, that was a very encouraging two-minute clip. Towards the end, you said Satan doesn't want people to have the hope of the rapture. And, you know, today's church is cooperating with that. They won't talk about it, as I know you know.
That's right. You look out there in our world today, filled with hopelessness, despair, you know, fear, anxiety. The hope for this world is the hope of the coming of Jesus Christ. Yet so many pulpits are totally silent about that. Everything's just about this life and this world. There's over 300 references to the coming of Jesus Christ in the 260 chapters of the New Testament. It's filled with hope, the New Testament is, from beginning to end. It's terrible, really, in a lot of churches, the lack of that hope that's being given. I think a lot of people mistake that for you're just kind of talking about the future and you're giving people pie in the sky, you know, sweet by and by. That's the only hope that we have. And that hope is always tied back to in the New Testament to how we live now as well. So we're to be end time Christians, but as we're end time Christians, we're going to be meantime Christians as well.
I'm going to refer here to an email I got a couple of days ago. It happens to be from New Zealand, and I'm going to keep the person anonymous. Didn't ask for permission, therefore I can't give his name. He says, as you always advocate, Jan, I believe in a rapture and the imminence of it. I am one of the leaders of our local affiliated church. He gives a denomination. I'm leaving it out. Of our eight leaders, only two of us believe in a rapture and second coming of Christ. The rest do not even want to talk about it and will not allow preaching of any of this. He concludes, I am persecuted for being outspoken about the rapture and second coming. During my preaching, I am about to face the leadership, which may result in being asked to leave the church. I'm ready for it. It is unbelievable, but what a joy to experience the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Indeed, rapture imminent and his return even closer than that. Thank you for your much coveted prayers for those of us believers in New Zealand. God bless your ministry. Mark, I get two or three of these a day and maybe more, and I know you hear this. We've probably said enough, but it just grieves both of us that the church is kind of in this position.
It's bewildering because it's such a dominant theme in the New Testament. It's in every book. There's long sections in many of the books about Christ's coming. Jesus himself, over 20 times, said that he's coming back. So you can't really claim to be a follower of Jesus if you're not paying attention to his coming again. We both understand there's people that get into prophecy and come up with some very far-fetched ideas, and some people respond against that. But you can't, just because there's a fringe out there that takes things to an extreme, we can't fail to tell people the basic truths about the coming of Jesus Christ. We're robbing a generation of people from the hope that they have in the coming of Christ. It's sad because people need it now more than they ever have.
You say, we stand in the way of Satan's agenda, thus we are inviting attack. You say there's a clash of the kingdom, Satan's kingdom versus God's kingdom, and that the ramping up hatred of believers is just growing. It's moving from soft persecution, mocking and marginalizing, and now it's moving to more violent types of persecution. You say we're now in the crosshairs of Satan's agenda. Then you refer to the terrible incident now many weeks ago in Nashville and made a comment about evangelicals and other Christians being shamed, apparently, on social media, which I'm glad I didn't see, because we were suggesting prayer, apparently, on social media, and that's where we were just hammered. Then I picked up a note here from Family Research Council. The report documented a nearly 300% increase in acts of hostility in the first quarter of 2023. Compared to the same time frame in 2022. If the trend continues, the report underscored that 2023 will have the highest number of incidents in the 6 years that Family Research Council has tracked. The acts of hostility contained in the report include vandalism, arson, gun-related incidents, bomb threats, and more. All this true, Mark. I still gotta say I'm a little surprised to see some of the intensity, particularly, you know, let's talk Christian schools and 9-year-old kids and all that, but give me your thoughts, and you've done a wonderful video on this, and that's what I'm referring to.
Obviously, the horrible events at that Covenant school in Nashville brought this to the fore. Clearly, this was motivated by hatred of their views. What's interesting, too, you know, the manifesto of this trans murderer has still not been released yet. If this would have been someone who was killing people from another group or whatever, it would have been released that day. I mean, it's still not been released yet. And I've heard in the wake of that, there was another major event of a similar kind then that was thwarted. We've also heard recently about FBI informants and surveillance that the FBI is doing in American Catholic churches.
Right.
I'm not aware of any big terrorist threats represented in Catholic churches right now. So what's the purpose of that other than to be there, maybe to intimidate, to begin to understand how to infiltrate these groups? We see this happening, things that you just never thought would ever happen in our country. And I think it's specific attacks against Christians as transgenderism and these things increase, all the confusion that's out there with same-sex marriage, abortion, all these different things that Bible-believing Christians stand against. We're going to see violent attacks against churches, against individual believers, against organizations who stand for the truth in these areas. It's going to be a real time for us to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might against these attacks of the enemy.
You say, I'm quoting you here, what we're seeing today is an unleashing of satanic warfare against Christians because we stand in the way of Satan's agenda. The battle lines are being drawn and we're seeing a real clash of kingdoms. The clash of Satan's kingdom versus God's kingdom, a clash between darkness and light, a clash between the culture of death and culture of life. A culture of disorder versus peace, a culture of dysphoria versus divine order. You say, you know, Jesus told us that this would happen. John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also yours. And then you refer to the mocking and the maligning and the marginalizing. But again, like we said a few moments ago, now we got bullets flying, and actually that's not new. It's just really intensified. But you know, Mark, and this has been going on with such intensity in foreign lands. Any communist-controlled country, the Christians are the number one persecuted. In parts of Africa, they're the number one persecuted by Muslims. we really still have it fairly easy in the Western world?
We do, and we don't want to exaggerate what's happening here because we have people in other parts of the world, they've been living with this for generations. I do think, you know, when things like this begin to happen in America, our antenna certainly are up because things like this haven't happened before. The hatred and the malice, the language stated against us, eventually this malicious language and slander is going to have to find another outlet at some point. The next outlet for it to find is physical. How bad this will get before the rapture takes place, no one knows. We're in new territory and new ground here in our country where Americans, long ago, Christians had the home field advantage in America. That's long gone. But now we're fighting in enemy territory.
Again, highly recommend the book Mark co-authored with Jeff Kinley, Global Reset, Do Current Events Point to the Antichrist and His Worldwide Empire? And there they discuss the launching of digital money, one world system, a single leader in charge. How much of this does the church see? We're already seeing some elements of the launching of the reset. We hear about it, in some cases daily, but certainly weekly. Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, etc. Global Reset, Do Current Events Point to the Antichrist and His Worldwide Empire? OliveTreeViews.org, OliveTreeViews.org, and go to our online store, give my office a call, get on to our various newsletter lists. I'm going to play another short clip of you, Mark. This is intriguing because your 15-minute video that you made, which I'm drawing from on America in Prophecy, just took off very, very amazing way. Let's play another clip and come back and talk about it.
One sign that we talk about it a lot, but I don't think we see it specifically as a sign, is what I would call the reduction of America, that America is going to be diminished as we get near the end times. You say, why do you say that? Well, I think America has to be neutralized because America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy, which to me indicates that something has to happen to America before the end times take place. I don't think America is mentioned in Bible prophecy. It's certainly not mentioned directly. It's never mentioned, you know, America or United States are never mentioned. But I don't even think it's mentioned indirectly or in some symbolic way. People will say, well, America is the unnamed nation in Isaiah 18, or they'll say America is Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. Some will say America is the 10 lost tribes, or America is the young lions of Tarshish in Ezekiel 38. I don't think any of those are a reference to the United States, certainly not a clear reference in any way. To me, they're much too tenuous to make any kind of identification with the United States. I think America has to fall because if America were the superpower that we are right now, once the rapture takes place and during the tribulation period, certainly we'd be mentioned somewhere. So I think the silence about America is significant. And it tells us in Revelation 13, when the tribulation period arrives, especially that final half of the seven-year tribulation period, it talks about the Antichrist who's going to rise out of a 10-leader background in Europe. He's going to rise out of these 10 kings. It says, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? So he's going to dominate the world at that time, which indicates to me the United States won't. Will maybe just be a part of his global coalition.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. Talking to Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Edmond, Oklahoma. He's pastor of Faith Bible Church, author of some 35 books, and we've carried probably a dozen, maybe even more than that over the years. Here, Mark, that was a video I drew from online. And then you went on to talk about the article by Victor Davis Hanson. Seems to be like a dozen ways to ensure America's deterioration, which, by the way, is all planned. It's going on now. And he lists, here's just a few things. If you wanted America to decline, make sure you surrender energy and independence. You depend on weak nations. You end physical boundaries. Make sure you destroy public trust in elections, that you weaponize the Department of Justice. This is Victor Davis Hanson. Make sure you redefine crime. In other words, if people are poor, we ignore what they're doing. What they're doing is destroying our blue cities, folks. I live in a blue city state. I know. Keep going here. Make sure that we racially discriminate just to end discrimination. Victor Davis Hanson says, water down American exceptionalism. He says, declare free speech as hate speech. He says, call half the country domestic terrorists. Neuter the First Amendment and never blame China for the virus. Well, we've done all of these and more. Very appropriate that you would cite that article.
You read through that and you could just keep going.
Yes, you can keep going.
I'm sure he could. If you want to destroy our country, you do those things and all these other things. And that's what we've seen happening over the last several years, but certainly they've been intensified the last couple of years here in our country. When people bring these issues up, it's literally like you're not even speaking. They can't hear. You make no sense to people. And yet these are the most common sense issues that someone could discuss. When I look at all of this, I see there has to be a satanic conspiracy behind all of this, because there's no way that human beings in this short of a time could have come up with this kind of a program to reduce and diminish our country more quickly than they have. That's the only thing I can conclude, is it's being energized behind the scenes by Satan to bring America down so that he can rule the world through another leader from another place that he's going to bring about, who will be the final Antichrist. Again, all this is under God's control. It's within God's plan. Satan hates our country because we're the last bastion of freedom in this world, and certainly of religious freedom. We send out more missionaries than anyone in the world. He's doing all he can to destroy our country. Maybe it's not surprising, but it's sad to have a front row seat as we watch it happen.
That's a good way of putting it, to have a front row seat, to have to watch the scenario play out before us. Look at the role America had with Israel, her founding in 1948, President Harry Truman. The role she played in 1973 Yom Kippur War. Golda Meir called Richard Nixon and said, "Mr. President, if you don't help us, in October of 1973, Israel will be obliterated and blown off the map." Mr. Nixon was not a friend to the Jews, but he remembered what his mother said to him, "If you ever get a chance to save the Jewish people, do it." And he did. He stepped in and turned that war around because America provided weapons and more. So the point that we're saying, Mark, is we've done so much right that it's tragic that the evil one is now causing all of that to be put behind us, and we're marching down death row.
We can look at it and know that this is part of God's plan. It's part of what's happening to bring about the events of the end. But it still saddens us to see it. We don't want to give up either. All of us know people who don't know the Lord. We have influence in the areas and arenas that we have it in. We want to continue to serve the Lord, and we want to be joyful warriors too. I think that's always an important thing. We don't want to be negative and sour about what's happening, and march forward and continue to do what God's called us to do and do what we can while we can. We need to do what we can do, but we need to pray and ask God to do what only he can do.
And then in that same message, you outlined, or at least you made reference to things that are so prominent right now that are lining up with the Bible. That would be globalism, lawlessness, that's hard to watch, Israel preparing for the Antichrist, you're referring to the coming digital money, the revival of the European Union. Fascinating one here, the Gog-Magog coalition is lining up. Russia, Iran, Turkey. Quite frankly, Sudan is listed in that, and Sudan's going through turmoil as we speak. But these other three nations, Russia, Iran, Turkey, are conspiring. You reference escalating apostasy, and then, of course, you went into a reduction of America as a prominent player. And, you know, I could keep going here, and so could you, with additional bullet points. And I think that's the thing that's so staggering about our times, is how everything is lining up, and so quickly, as a radio program and you as a pastor, it's hard for us to keep up.
It's every day. There's all kinds of things. You mentioned Sudan, even. Russia's building a port on the Red Sea with Sudan. You got Libya. Russia has control over. They're mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as well. This trove of documents that were leaked out, the Pentagon, this big leak. Part of that was that Egypt was going to supply rockets to Russia. They get more aid from us than any country in the world, yet they're going behind our back to supply rockets to Russia. Egypt's going to be the king of the south, joined with the king of the north there in the end, as part of this whole Gog-Magog scenario as well. All kinds of things like that are happening, and I think it's a further sign of the weakening of America, that even those nations we're helping now, they don't really have a lot of confidence in our help. They're kind of keeping their back channels open as well. So many things happening, you're right, on so many different fronts. It's really difficult, even in a weekly program, to keep up with all of it.
Absolutely. Mark, I've heard you summarize Psalm 11, and that would read, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can a Western nation do?" I think we ought to dwell there for just a few minutes anyway, because it's one thing for us to sit here and list all the things that are wrong. Actually, I do that on a consistent basis, but I always try to balance it with, but here's what the Christian can do. And Michelle Bachman and I reviewed things last weekend, and we never try to end on a hopeless type of a level, because in our world it certainly is not. Why don't you take it here for the next few minutes? Because obviously we take our refuge in God. He's not up in heaven pacing back and forth wondering, well, what do I do now? Because there's certainly a mess here, 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 and here. But give us your thoughts here, particularly on Psalm 11.
A beautiful psalm of David. We don't really know the situation David's in, but it's some bad, terrible situation. And his counselors come to him and they tell him, flee like a bird to the mountain. Basically, just get out of there and flee and run. A lot of people, I think, have a tendency to do that today, to isolate, go away and want to get away from the problems. But David says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And there's just some beautiful statements here. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Right there at the beginning, what he's saying is, there's several things that we need to see here. The first thing is we need to see where God sits. God sits on his throne, that heaven has an occupied throne. When times are difficult and the foundations, and by the way, the word there, when the foundations are destroyed, it means like the pillars of civilization. It's coming down, and that's what we see happening today, sadly. But what he's saying here is when the foundations are being destroyed, we need a fresh vision of who God is. The other thing he's going to say down here later is we need a long view of history. It's so easy to just get a myopic view and just see what's happening right before us. But we need a fresh view of God, a long view of history. It says, see, God's on his throne. Heaven has an occupied throne. We need to remember that there's never panic in heaven. God's never pacing the floor in heaven. I heard someone say years ago, the Trinity never meets an emergency session. God knows what's happening. God's seated on his throne in heaven. And that's one of the great comforts we have. It can look in our world today sometimes like he's not on his throne. David says, the Lord's in his holy temple. He's on his throne. Then he not only points out where the Lord sits, but what the Lord sees. He says, his eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The idea of the eyelids there even is the idea of God squinting. It's like he's coming down and looking really closely. His eyes see and his eyelids test the sons of men. A lot of times we look at our world today again and we would say, does God really see what's happening? Surely if God saw what was happening, he'd do something more than what he's doing now. He says, look, his eyelids behold, his eyes test the sons of men. We need to remember in turbulent, tumultuous times, we need to remember where God sits on his throne. We need to remember what he sees, that he sees everything that's happening. We need to also see what God sends. It says in verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. The one who loves violence, his soul hates. The wicked, he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. God's going to send judgment someday upon this world. And we need to remember that. And we need a long view of history. We can just look at what's happening now, and it looks like the wrong side's winning. But God's going to send judgment someday upon the wicked. And then I love verse 7. We see what God shares. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. The ultimate reward for the righteous is the face of God. It's the vision of God. He's saying, look, when the foundations are destroyed, remember where God sits. He's on his throne. Remember what he sees. He sees what's happening. Remember what he sends. He's going to send judgment someday upon the wicked. And remember what God shares. He's going to share his presence and his face with those who know him. Every day, I think all of us who are believers, as the foundations are being destroyed, we need a fresh vision of God, and we need a long view of history. I just kind of add this one little story that years ago, there was a building. The building was beginning to show cracks up on the 42nd floor. And the owners of the building called the architect and the engineers there to come and inspect the building. And they went up to the 42nd floor and they realized the architect and engineer didn't come with them. And they found out they were down in the basement. And they went down to the basement and they found out that there was a janitor that worked down there. And he was building a garage at his house. And so every day he was chiseling a brick out of the foundation and taking it home in his bag for his garage at home. Well, over time, the removal of these bricks was causing cracks in the structure on the 42nd floor. And I look at our culture like that today. People for years have been chiseling away at the foundation of our country, kind of removing the foundation one brick at a time. The cracks are beginning to show now up on the 42nd floor. There may not be anything we can do as individuals to go back and restore those foundations, but we can do what Psalm 11 says. If we do that, we'll find great comfort and great hope, and we'll be a great blessing to people around us in this world as we await Christ's coming.
Thank you, Mark. Today, the world celebrates what God condemns, and there might be someone out there listening right now who is celebrating what the world has to offer, and you would like to start anew, start your physical and spiritual life on a new path. And if so, it says in Romans 9 that all who call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I encourage you to do that even today. Turn from those wicked ways, repent, and indicate you are sorry. And call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and become saved. And then, quite frankly, the things we talked about this hour will make so much more sense than perhaps they did with you as in the unbelieving category. Mark, thank you again. Mark is pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, author of 35 books. He's been to the Twin Cities here where I've done conferences many, many times. Anything exciting on the horizon for you, Mark?
Things at our church are exciting, happening right now. I'm so grateful to God for what he's doing at our church. That's very exciting, very encouraging.
Yes, numbers are staggering.
Yes, it's been great. We're so appreciative of what God's doing. Also, just the partnership I have with endtimes.com.
Yeah.
That's very exciting to me with that ministry with Jimmy Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've really enjoyed that greatly, and I think that that's just continuing to grow. You know, kind of Faith Bible Church, and then my work teaching down at Dallas Seminary, and then endtimes.com. Those are the three ministries that I'm investing my life and my time in. And it's exciting on every front. In spite of all that's happening in our world, I'm very encouraged by what God's doing.
I have not used this closing for probably 3 months. I feel it's appropriate today. It says this, when the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down. The lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm. The stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, he's never late, he's always right on time, and his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Our times are in His hands, as the Bible says, so they really aren't out of control. God has all things in control. You are engraved on the palm of His hand, but God allows disturbing world events to happen so that all things fall into place.